Andhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama shreshtham manamapi satchiputra matra sarupam rupam tasya gajamurupurim maturim goshtavatim radha kundam garivaramaho radhika madhavasham prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yataf Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Welcome to all in this Shravan Kirtan camp. As I mentioned this morning and is well known, Shravan Kirtan means hearing and chanting specifically about Vishnu. But as it happens, this Shravan Kirtan camp is also clubbed with what is called the Vyasa Puja, or the coming together of the disciples to glorify the Guru as the representative of Vyasadev. So there should be, there will be some Shravan and Kirtan, not directly about Vishnu, but about myself, which may seem quite inappropriate, but that is the system given by Vishnu, by Krishna, and that discussing about myself is only because of the connection with Krishna. Otherwise, there's no reason to glorify anyone except Krishna. But Krishna himself likes to see his devotees glorified. So we glorify someone because of their connection with Krishna. We don't glorify Srila Prabhupada saying that he was born in Calcutta in such and such a year and he went to Scottish churches, college. We may say that, but that's not the reason that we glorify him, because he went to Scottish churches, college, or he joined Gandhi's movement and wore khadi. That's not the reason we may say that to give some historical context, but we glorify him because he is a pure devotee of Krishna. And specifically that pure devotee of Krishna who saved us from our position, incarceration in the material world. So similarly, if I'm to be discussed, it must be in relationship to Srila Prabhupada. There's no use to talking about I was born in England in such and such a year and I went to this school and I did this, I studied this, and then it's all meaningless. Any meaning to my life came through contact with Srila Prabhupada, and that's true of all of us. We're all here by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Krishna's mercy manifested through Srila Prabhupada. So who am I? I am most fortunate to be, I can't imagine my good fortune to be counted as at least someone who is trying to be a servant of Srila Prabhupada, although actually to be his servant, even though he's very merciful, no doubt, but to be a worthy servant, it It requires to come to his level of dedication and surrender, to actually be a servant, to be the kind of servant that he wanted us to be. Not that he wanted anything for his own sense gratification, but he wanted to see us fully engaged in the service of Krishna, mind, body, words, night and day, constantly, for eternity. Why did he desire that? That was his compassion. He desired that, so he took the trouble of coming to the Western world, and then in India, taking so much trouble. There's just one anecdote. There are so many anecdotes which give insights into the limitless compassion and transcendental consciousness of Srila Prabhupada. Here's just one of them that I heard recently. Srila Prabhupada was in Fiji, an island in, where is it? It's somewhere in between here and Australia. He had been invited there, and many programs had been arranged for him. But his secretary, Pushta Krishna Swami, he chastised Vasudev Prabhu, who is the devotee organizing Srila Prabhupada's visit. Why have you arranged so many preaching engagements with Srila Prabhupada? He's already quite sick. You just cancel them all. And Prabhupada will just stay in one place and he'll speak there. And when this came to Srila Prabhupada's attention, he said that, why have you cancelled all the programs? Vasudev is enthusiastic to organize them, so I should reciprocate. And Pushta Krishna Swami said, well, you're very sick now, Prabhupada, and we don't want to inconvenience you any more than required. And Srila Prabhupada said, it's already an inconvenience to come here. So why not accept a little more just to reciprocate with Vasudev? So they came to a compromise solution. Some of the programs were cancelled and some of them Srila Prabhupada did. But I heard this recently. I remember many years ago I'd heard a lecture or a conversation of Prabhupada in Fiji, in which he spoke, why are we coming? Why are we traveling all over the world? Why are we coming to Fiji? And that is the same thing. Lokanam hitakari. Lokanam hitakari. He's doing it for the benefit. Of course, I'm paraphrasing what Srila Prabhupada said. He's doing it for the benefit of others. He went to America, the most important country in the world. He went to Russia, another very important country. He went to India, which is the most important country of the world, spiritually, in the whole universe. He went to all kinds of places. And why Fiji? Well, there's no prestige there. But there are people interested in Krishna consciousness. So he wanted to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere, to everyone. So we're all very fortunate to be under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. Most of you here are in the shelter of Srila Prabhupada via myself. My only duty to you, as I've said many times and I will continue to say, anything which is requires to be understood, then we may repeat it. To help us to understand and it becomes solidly embedded in our consciousness. Another thing is that by saying it again and again, we take pleasure in considering it again and again. Yes, it's my duty to instruct you as Srila Prabhupada instructed us. So what Srila Prabhupada instructed us is it's clear, straightforward. So he may say then, well, why, what do you need anyone in between for? You can just go directly to Srila Prabhupada. You can read his books. But as Srila Prabhupada himself often said, a guru is not supposed to be in between in the sense of blocking, but as what he called a transparent via media. In between, but not in the sense of blocking, but in the sense of facilitating, helping the flow to come through. Another important point is that Krishna made the system that one has to please the Guru, then Krishna is pleased. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kato. As we sing daily, by the satisfaction, by the pleasure of the Guru, we receive the mercy of Krishna. Prasada, yasya prasada, prasada, by his mercy. Prasada also means pleasure or satisfaction. So if he is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. And if he's not pleased, then Krishna is not pleased. So that is the system set up. What should be my pleasure? You may ask, what pleases me? And on one level you might start to think, well, chapatis and pakoras. Yeah, okay. That also pleases me, but that's not the purpose of becoming a guru, to get chapatis and pakoras. You can also, if you like chapatis and pakoras, then any way you can get, you don't have to engage people as your disciples to do that, although they may be pleased to offer them to you. But guru means first and foremost his identity as is as a disciple. My identity, if I am asked who I am, is all right, I'm the guru of all of you, but more important, or my core identity, is that disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who taught us to be, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us to be, gopi bharatu pada kamalaya dasu dasa anudasaha, to consider ourselves the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is the husband of the gopis, maintainer of the gopis of Vrindavan. So as servant of Srila Prabhupada, if you ask me, well, what pleases me, you should think what pleases me, but I have to think what pleases Srila Prabhupada. So if you ask me what pleases me, and then I should say the same things that Srila Prabhupada said. I'd like to see you distribute Prabhupada's books, for instance. So again, you may say, well, what do you need a guru for? You can just do what Prabhupada said. But that point, it's a personal connection. In between, there's a personal connection that I can be pleased by your distributing Srila Prabhupada's books and so many other activities. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, he did stress that very much, distributing his books. So I can please Srila Prabhupada by encouraging you to do so. And it's a personal connection. And I become pleased. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada is pleased, but I'm also pleased. And then Krishna is pleased. This is what we're told. Though I may be far, far from Krishna, but in the service of Srila Prabhupada, accepting this role, far, far from Krishna, but connected. The connection is there, by parampara, by initiation. The connection is made. And initiation, as I was just hearing in the audio recording of the Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes in there that one shouldn't think that initiation means my whole business is finished, but rather one has to act on the order of the spiritual master. So initiation is making the formal connection, and then one has to act in that connection to make the initiation meaningful. About myself, if you want to know about myself, you may be interested in knowing about myself. I'm not very interested in saying, well, before I joined the movement, there's nothing interesting, actually. There's nothing interesting to say. I mean, even for a disciple, what's interesting? I just born, went to school, and nothing much to say. So my life really began after being a zombie for so many millions of lifetimes, actually came to life. Srila Prabhupada gave the life-giving injection of Krishna consciousness. You may ask, what pleases me? In Rishikesh I was asked this, and I answered as Srila Prabhupada did. When Srila Prabhupada was asked, what pleases you? He was asked this on different occasions. On one occasion he said, if you love Krishna. That's a big challenge. As long as we're trying to love this material world, although love for Krishna is natural, but for us it seems to be unnatural because of our attachment to everything that blocks Krishna consciousness. Bhukti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hridi vartate tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katam abhyudayo bhavet. As long as the witch-like desires for material enjoyment or liberation from the material world are within the heart, then where is the question of actually experiencing the happiness of pure devotional service? So we require to practice. We require to practice to revive our natural inborn Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada said, if you love Krishna. Another time when he was asked this, he said, if you chant Hare Krishna, and you're already doing that, so go on doing it. Go on chanting Hare Krishna. I will elaborate on what pleases me, what do I want of my disciples, what will make me happy. Very simply I can say, if they're dedicated to Srila Prabhupada's mission, because seeing as a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, I see that what he wanted of his disciples in practical terms, not that being to love Krishna or to chant Hare Krishna is impractical, but he gave many directions as to his mission, serving his mission. His mission is Lord Chaitanya's mission, which is to spread Krishna consciousness to every town and village in the world. So spreading Krishna consciousness, and not just spreading, but bringing devotees up. So my position as a disciple of Srila Prabhupada means a servant of his mission. And as a servant in his mission, I like to see that my disciples also are dedicated to his mission, which means to understand what his mission is and to act in that. And there are many services to be performed within that. Book distribution, Srila Prabhupada himself personally stressed that very much. He also stressed very much to read the books. He didn't want that his disciples only distributed them. He wanted them to personally understand very well and not just to read and memorize, as someone may do for an exam. Some exam you have to memorize and then you regurgitate it and write it down and then you pass the exam. But Srila Prabhupada wanted us to understand this. What are the teachings? The Siddhanta. Siddhanta balaya chitte nakaraha alosh eha hoite Krishna lage sudira manosh. One should not be lazy in understanding the conclusion of Shastra, for by applying one's mind in this way to try to understand, then one's mind becomes firmly attached to Krishna. So that is a major reason for having gurus, being gurus, why don't we just read Prabhupada's books and all become Ritvigvadis? But the gurus, they are supposed to understand very well what are the teachings of Shastra as received in disciplic succession, specifically through Srila Prabhupada, and to enlighten their disciples, to help their disciples properly understand all these points, and how to apply that in our personal life. Krishna consciousness, the teachings are quite simple. It's not a very complex philosophy, like that of, for instance, the Mayavadis. It's complex because it's convoluted or speculative. And to try, it's much easier to understand and to explain to others 1 plus 1 equals 2 than to try to understand that 1 plus 1 equals 3. So Krishna consciousness, the understanding is comparable to 1 plus 1 equals 2. It's straightforward and easy to understand because it's a fact. And anything else is 1 plus 1 equals 3. Or you know, people may argue, 1 plus 1 equals 3. No, no, 1 plus 1 equals 2.734. And so they may be arguing, all different so-called philosophers, with their speculative philosophies, but it's meaningless. They have to understand 1 plus 1 equals 2. Or in the modern New Age Mayavadi concept, they may not say, no, no, it can't be 2, because 2 is greater than 1. And you can't have anything more than anything else. Everything, you can't have anything bigger or better than anything else. So 1 plus 1 equals 1, 2,000 multiplied by 50,000 equals 1, because you can't have any number bigger than anything else, because everything should all be the same. This is their idea. Or if any number is less, then you make it more. So this is the New Age approach. But the fact is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we're all His servants. We're suffering in this material world because of forgetfulness of Him. So we have to remember Him. How do we remember Him? Shravana Kirtana, the primary processes. So the Guru is meant to help in that. So I'm very pleased if you all take that very seriously, hearing and chanting about Krishna, dedicating yourself to Srila Prabhupada's mission, reading the books. Srila Prabhupada very much wanted that his disciples read these books and sincerely endeavor in devotional service to overcome material desires. It's not an easy thing. It's much easier to talk about it, but we have to at least talk about it. If we don't talk about it, then we won't have any idea that we should actually do it. There are many speakers on Bhagavatam, and they talk sweetly about the sweet pastimes of Krishna, which is very nice, to speak sweetly about the sweet pastimes of Krishna. But unless we understand also the need to Bishoy Charya Kobe Shuddha Hobeman, Tobe Hamaherabo Sri Vrindavan, unless we understand the need to overcome that, the first of all, that there are material desires in our hearts, we may not even if we're listening to Krishna's pastimes, we may think, oh, how wonderful, how nice, I'm enjoying it, I'm a devotee. And not even recognize the material attachments within our hearts. So that should be pointed out, just like in shooting range, or when whether you look through the what do you call that, the lens of the gun, you focus, and then first of all you have to see it and understand it's there, where it is, what it is, then you shoot and then destroy it. But if we don't even recognize it's there, then for all our hearing about Krishna, unless there's an endeavor to overcome the material desires in our heart, then we won't make proper advancement. Fortunately, the process of bhakti yoga, sadhana bhakti, helps us to, without extraneous endeavor, helps us to become, to rise above those material desires. An engagement in the mission of Srila Prabhupada, that is a meditation, how our life can be dedicated for not only practicing Krishna consciousness ourselves, but helping others to come up. So if we have this dedication for the mission, then that in itself is perfection. Even though we may have material desires, but it's compared to a green mango is also a mango. It just has, if it remains in the process, then it becomes ripe in due course of time. So we're on the way. Of course, it is possible to be engaged in the mission, but with ulterior motives. This is very dangerous. This requires to be pointed out. There's another reason why, even reading the book, we can read La Puja Pratishta Jato Upashakagon. We can read Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's warning, Nishidacha Kutinati Jibe Hingjan, Lab Puja Pratishta Jato Upashakagon. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns the practicing devotees that they may have within the heart desires for, well, first of all, they may not be proper, they may be practicing chanting Hare Krishna, but also performing activities which are detrimental to devotional service, which are forbidden in scripture. Or they may, so that's called nishedacha. Then kutinati means duplicity. One shows oneself outside to be a great devotee, but inside has some other motive. Jibe hingshan, to be envious of other living beings. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur brings a revolutionary understanding to this, that he says that to obstruct the preaching of Krishna consciousness, that is the worst kind of envy of other living beings, or bad feeling toward others, spitefulness, to stop the preaching, to obstruct the preaching. So this kutinati, duplicity, that can be within the heart, desires for monetary gain through devotional service. One may see that, well, if I preach, if I tell some stories from Shastra, people like it, they'll give me donations, I can support my family, it's all bona fide. Well, it is bona fide that a preacher of Krishna consciousness, say a brahmana, householder, can be maintained by devote donations from the public. But his whole attitude is that he simply accepts what is required. Therefore, he has to give in charity also. He only keeps the minimum amount that is needed. But if he thinks that, well, let me speak very nicely, and people will be pleased, and they'll give me nice donations, and I better not point out all the things they're doing which are obstructing their devotional advancement, otherwise they won't want to give me money. So one's whole devotional service becomes compromised and becomes actually not devotional service at all, if one is doing, thinking that I will get some monetary gain from it. It's very different from the attitude of a pure devotee who ananyas chintayanto mang ye janah pariyupasati teishang nityabhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham, who with full faith in Krishna, well, I'll just serve Krishna and Krishna will maintain. Krishna says. And if he maintains me like Sudama, where my bones are sticking out of my body due to poverty, all right, I'll accept that. That's Krishna's mercy on me. He doesn't demand that Krishna, I'm serving you, and so you have so many devotees like Maharaj Ambarish and Maharaj Prithu, they were ruling over the world, so why don't you do that to me? He has no demands. But if one is expecting that I will get some monetary gain, then it's not actually devotional service at all. Or then one will get some position and be recognized, or puja will be respected or worshipped. If one has any such desires, then he cannot actually perform devotional service, even if he seems to be performing devotional service very well. So again, the gurus are required to point these things out, because they are pitfalls that it's very easy to fall into for a practicing devotee. It's Maya is just ready to capture us. So it's very easy to go on practicing devotional service with some mixed intentions. But one cannot help others very substantially even if one is successful in preaching, in the sense of bringing many people to devotional service by spiritual genetics, if there's such. Well, anyway, you get the idea. Then those who come in association of a devotee who has mixed motives, they'll also have mixed motives. And so the actual mission of pure devotional service will not be served. So Srila Prabhupada, when he said, "What pleases you?" Srila Prabhupada said, "If you love Krishna." So I can say that also. And I can elaborate upon that, that it's not something cheap, it's not a show, it's manifest, love of Krishna is manifest as a dedication to serving Krishna without any personal motive. I always recommend, sometimes I verbally say it, but it's a standing instruction that you read these books, understand the topics also, and if you read in those books, then you'll get this understanding, what pure devotional service is, that we're meant only for surrendering to Krishna. I'm again and again amazed at Srila Prabhupada's message, how it's so far, far above anything that anyone has ever given, at least in the Western world. There's no such conception. So far above that of the ordinary people who are living their mundane existence. It's a great gift. We should take advantage of it. Also, by reading Srila Prabhupada's books and hearing his conversations and lectures, we can understand the practical manifestation of that. Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram with farm communities, simple living and high thinking, Gurukul. So I am very pleased with the devotees who are doing that. In many ways, it's different to what we've understood the main thrust of the movement to be all these years. The main thrust of this movement we see is preaching, distributing books, building temples, bringing people in, bringing them up to the stage of initiation, and hopefully further also. Preaching movement. The Varnashram mission doesn't seem to be so much preaching. It is preaching in a very important way, that it demonstrates everything, it's meant to demonstrate everything which is given in the books and which gives everyone the opportunity to live a life of Krishna consciousness, which the hellish cities. Of course, one can also practice Krishna consciousness within the hellish cities, but for most people, the constraints of working and then the association with non-devotees, including in many cases their family members, it is it's a great impediment to their natural progress of advancement in Krishna consciousness. So these communities are supposed to demonstrate how people can live simply and happily with Krishna in the center of their life, and set an example to others that people can see that they can live fully Krishna conscious by living like this. So it's also preaching, but in a very different kind of way. It's setting up communities whereby people swakarmana tamabhyacha siddhing vindati manavaha, communities by which people can serve Krishna by their work very directly, not so indirectly as if you're working in some factory, for instance. Of course, if one's mentality is fully, I'm working in this factory, but all the proceeds I'm using for Krishna's service, maintain a family and Krishna consciousness, it's also possible. But if one is living in a community where all the devotees are cooperating, whatever they produce, it's the factual manifestation of yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhoshi, tadasi, yad tapasyasi, kaunteya, tad kurushva, madarpanam. Everything we do, everything we eat, everything, austerities we perform, everything is done simply as an offering to Krishna. So, it's in many ways very different. Srila Prabhupada also said that the next phase of the movement of Varnashram communities would be very different in many ways. There not so much emphasis on going out and doing book distribution, not so much emphasis on going anywhere, just stay where you are. Stane stita. You get in a proper position and you just stay. You don't need to run here and there. Of course, it's not that devotees on farm communities can't go out and distribute books, but their main focus is on developing the community itself. So I am of course very pleased with all the devotees who are serving Srila Prabhupada's mission in various ways, distributing books in the cities, helping others come to Krishna consciousness in the cities, those who have taken great risk to establish the farm community. Is great risk, especially for the grihasthas, risk in as much as they don't know if it's going to work. Mostly everyone all around them tell them, no, it's not going to work. When they first went, they didn't know how we're going to do farming, they had no experience. Gradually they're learning. Dadami buddhi yogam tam, Krishna gives intelligence. So they've taken a lot of trouble, a lot of risk, with faith, in the words of Srila Prabhupada, and I'm pleased. And we want to develop this more and more and more. That is a great service to Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas, their mission, which we should increase more and more and more and more. Part of my being a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, of course, is Ebe Josh Gushak Tribhuvan. We're meant to glorify Srila Prabhupada. That can be done by serving his mission, developing his mission, ourselves being very good representatives of Srila Prabhupada, by distributing his books, and also grace of modern technology, there are now available so many, all the known audio and video recordings of Srila Prabhupada. All the known ones means it's not very likely there'll be more in future. So that is a great treasure that we can, a great resource which we can all utilize for becoming Krishna conscious. Madhav Prabhu, one of your god brothers, one of my disciples, has very enthusiastically taken up this service of making that available in English. Most of it's in English. There are a few lectures in Hindi and Bengali. He's also getting the lectures translated into Hindi, and in South India, Krishnadas Prabhu is doing that in Tamil, and that requires to be done in all the languages so that all devotees can avail of this. So those various recordings are available. Madhav Prabhu has a stall outside here. Varnashram, we want real brahmacharis. In the modern age, to have a brahmachari might seem almost impossible, because the whole atmosphere is saturated with sexual vibrations. Even to have a real grihastha might seem almost impossible. To live peacefully, husband and wife together, that in itself, that might seem like the most almost impossible nowadays. It seems like that. It's become such a bad situation here in India also. But that Varnashram is to demonstrate that. Vanaprastha, the older devotees, they need not work all their life. They can retire at the age of 50, Srila Prabhupada said, and dedicate fully to Krishna consciousness. Sannyasis, they're in all the ashrams, and Stri Dharma, women who are content to serve it according to the prescriptions of Stri Dharma. They can also, it's not that everyone has to jump up and sit on a big stage like I'm sitting on a big stage right now and show themselves, but according to the position, sthane sthita, that we have received, we may serve Krishna. And that's also a great challenge in the modern age with so much propaganda that people should drink alcohol and eat meat, and with this Madhur Gauranga, just I was speaking to him a few days ago, who's from a village near Dharwara in North Karnataka. He told me that as a child, he's 30-something years old, there was maybe one meat shop in the whole town, probably in the Muslim quarter. Now everywhere, it's difficult to find any restaurant or anything. Anyway, it's here in Gujarat also. When I first came, there was hardly anything, meat, nothing. But the eggs are everywhere, and meat, everything. Here in Somnath, you'll smell the smell of fish. It's a major economy here is the temple, but there's also fishing. In Veeraval, you'll see fishing boats are being built. This is demoniac. But it's all around us. To live a pure life is very difficult in the modern age. And those who do so, those who are even trying to do so, they're all glorious. You're all glorious. Those who are weak, even, we're all weak. But anyone who's trying is glorious. But we want, for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and for the uplift of human society, to demonstrate how people can live aloof from this demoniac society, rejecting the values or lack of values or perverse values of this demoniac society, happy to live very simply serving Krishna, being Krishna conscious. So there are many, many things to be done that can be pleasing. Srila Prabhupada himself was the personification of preaching Krishna consciousness. He was fully dedicated to that. So preaching in various ways, Srila Prabhupada's preaching was not only to bring people into Krishna consciousness, which nowadays in India, it's relatively easy to bring people to Krishna consciousness. In the 1970s, when Srila Prabhupada was preaching in India, it wasn't. There weren't many Indian people joining Prabhupada's movement seriously. Now the situation has changed due to so much preaching by Srila Prabhupada and his followers and the distribution of his books. And it is relative, I'm not saying it's easy to bring anyone into devotional service, but relatively easy. But that's not all of distributing books, building temples, bringing people in, making people devotees. We say making devotees. It's a bit of a wrong term. Bringing people into devotional service. That's not all that preaching entails. There's also smashing all the wrong ideas. Srila Prabhupada was very concerned to oppose Mayavad, Shunyavad, demoniac scientism, all these wrong ideas. So preaching doesn't mean just to find the pious people and bring them into Krishna consciousness. It also means to challenge the demoniac theories of the impious people. But that's a major part of our preaching, especially scientific, and Mayavadis. Srila Prabhupada very much wanted to defeat all that. So if you take that up, that's also pleasing to me. Also, during when Srila Prabhupada is personally present, the world was divided. It's all the Kali Yuga means people are divided against each other. So the major political division was capitalist versus communist. Now it's reshaping as the Western world in general versus Islamism, as they call it. And Islamism, as they call it, is seen as the great threat to the Western civilization. Actually, it should be that Krishna consciousness is the great threat. Not that we're going to bomb people or blow them up, but Srila Prabhupada noted that the Krishna consciousness movement was spreading so dynamically that some people in the West thought it was a threat to their civilization, but it's a benevolent threat. So just communism, Srila Prabhupada, he said that if we distribute my books in Russia, in the USSR, then the communism will be undermined. And actually that was done. It was practically impossible to distribute those books in the USSR. But it was done. And communism collapsed. So we should also be very concerned to preached not only to the pious people who will take up Krishna consciousness very easily, but also to Muslims. Give them Prabhupada's books, preach to them. Don't only seek out the easy targets. If that can be done, that will be very, very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. We can, this Muslim Devotees of Krishna has been written by Damodar Nityananda Prabhu. You can read that. That's it's an indirect way of giving the idea that, well, people from Muslim backgrounds, they can also take to the pure life of Krishna consciousness. Islamism, as it's called, is often seen as a threat, but we shouldn't fall into the trap of thinking that everyone who's happened to be born in a Muslim family or who is some kind of monster or there's so many very pious people, which Srila Prabhupada himself said. Srila Prabhupada once, after resting, he said, I had a dream that I saw the planet where all the pious Muslims go to. And Hari, he said this to Hari Shariprabhu, his servant. And Hari Shariprabhu, he recounted that he couldn't quite understand this, because first of all, he wondered if there is such a thing as a pious Muslim. And then he wondered, is there a planet? And he asked Prabhupada, he said, oh yes, Prabhupada said. So it's not that they're all, that we should not think that. If we think that, then if we think they're all hopeless, and then how can we extend the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to them? So that's Muslim preaching, village preaching, padyatras. I've said all this before. In fact, I say this every year, but let's say it again and again and again. These things are all very pleasing to me. The essence is, if you are sincere in devotional service, that will be very pleasing to me, pleasing to Krishna, pleasing to everyone, pleasing to the whole world. And also help me. I also get encouragement from seeing you. It's not that I'm just some stone or something. I also get encouraged by seeing your sincere activities in devotional service. It's not that everyone has to be a big acharya, whoever you are, whatever situation you're in. If you're sincerely serving, Krishna will be pleased. That story is there of the big monkeys bringing big rocks, to throwing them in the ocean to build the bridge over Lanka, over the ocean to go to Lanka. And the squirrel was there also, whose activities seem to be insignificant. What is pushing the sand into the ocean? How is that going to help? It seems like a laughing stock. But Lord Rama accepted that also, because he didn't need the monkeys to throw the big rocks either. They thought, we're doing the real service. This squirrel is not doing it. It's ridiculous. But Lord Rama, he didn't need the monkeys to do the service, but he accepted their service. So not everyone's going to be a big acharya, but anyone who serves sincerely, that will be appreciated by Krishna. So if you can't be a monkey serving in a big way, then at least be a squirrel, but do something. Don't be inactive. Do something to try to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. On a personal note, I'm very happy also to see that some devotees are coming from the West and learning Indian languages and preaching. It's very effective in preaching. Srila Prabhupada wanted this, so there are a few of you who are doing that. Actually, Radhesh Prabhu, we should have some slot, few minutes at least, for our Govinda Datta to show his, or to show or to demonstrate his. So maybe all the devotees know, but maybe some don't know, and it's pride for me. As a father becomes proud, the children, children are doing so well. So many people say, my son is studying in America, but now everyone's son is studying in America, so it's not such a big thing. But it used to be said like that. So it's something I'm very pleased with. And Indians, well, you don't have that opportunity, unless you want to paint yourself white or something. But that's a special opportunity for those with a white body to preach. It has a very great effect, because Indians, up to the present time, have this ridiculous idea that everything and everyone from the West is superior. So that's another thing, to preach the actual glories of this holy land of India. The actual glories are not the nuclear missiles and the Tata company owns, and different company, Mittal and Tata, they've bought some businesses in the West. That's not the glory of India. The glory of India is our great culture, so that we want to emphasize also. So, Priya Govinda Prabhu, you ready? Okay, so now the Gurukul boys from Telangana are going to recite Kunti Stotra. We have two Gurukuls running on. The one in Salem, the boys graduated and some of them went to Gujarat. So these are from, actually not many of the boys are actually from Telangana. They're from UP and Nepal and where else? Some are from Telangana. It's a mixed group. Announcement before that. Why? Can you do it afterwards? Does it have to be right now? Okay, well in the meantime, I'll go and come.